Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying, why not today? I'm your host, Leslie Kane, and in each episode, we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs to artists, dreamers to doers, we explore the moments when they say, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative, whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy. Our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often said, why not today? And remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And I'm excited about my guest today, Wendy Taylor, who is in Nashville, Tennessee. And we met virtually through another online group. And I guess it was, gosh, I don't even know when it was. Year and a half ago, maybe?
Probably. Yeah. Maybe a little bit less, but probably about no more than 19 months.
Yeah. And then we just connected personally on some things and professionally. You've helped me with LinkedIn, and I just love what you're doing and how you're recreating who you are. And you're just on my mind a lot recently. And then you've been doing these fun things that are salons, not where you're getting your hair cut. And so would love to kind of dive into that. And the fun thing about this podcast, or the definitely God wink thing in this podcast today, is we actually recorded this before. And as you know, I don't edit my episodes. Well, this one just disappeared into thin air. Like, I got an email saying I got the recording and couldn't find it anywhere. And so when I had to reach out to Wendy and say, oh, we got to redo this. And she's like, you know, there's a couple of things I wish I would have said differently. So definitely out of our hands. So Wendy, I'm excited to have you here and to share your story again. And as I said, probably completely different than the first recording, but why don't you introduce yourself? Who's Wendy? A little background on you, not your whole life story or courage journey. And then what's a fun fact about you?
Okay. So hi, I'm Wendy Taylor. And I, today I am a coach and I work with people on job searches, particularly major transitions. I work with people with ADHD on their businesses or their careers, and I work with executives. I'm also a classical choral soprano. I just came out of a voice lesson with my amazing voice coach. And fun fact is I've kept score at every baseball game I've been to since I was 12 years old.
That is so fun. Like, definitely my numbers girl. But I think you mentioned before that your brain works on both sides.
Yes. Yes. And one of my focuses is to use more of the creative brain because historically I made every penny off of my left brain.
Yeah. So I think that's important. We do need to take time to do the creativity. I was just away last week, dog sitting for a friend, and she left me some gifts when I got there, and one was crayon and coloring book. And I literally one night was watching TV and instead of grabbing my phone and just continuing to work, I'm like, I'm just going to color. And it's amazing how that just kind of relaxes you and fills your cup and works that other part of your brain.
Definitely. Definitely. So,
well, you've had a very interesting courage journey. But before we go to that, what does courage mean to you?
Courage is stepping into the new, the outside the comfort zone, or doing that, or being present while someone else does that.
You want me to tell you what your definition was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It says when everything falls apart and you decide how you want to put it together, but not back.
Oh my goodness. I love what I said 2 weeks ago. I'm so glad you wrote that down. And that's so
I do try to write down courage definition.
Yeah.
So when everything falls apart and you decide how you want to put it together, but not back. And that's kind of where Wendy 2.0 came from.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your courage journey. So yeah. I know you came from You're a California girl, moved to Nashville.
Kind of, sort of a temporary California girl, but
Okay.
25 years is a long time.
Yes.
So,
And another kind of fun connection is your dad used to live in Reston, where I live. Just
yes, exactly.
so
And I
you
grew up in outside Philadelphia and then outside Baltimore and
know.
lived
Okay.
in Baltimore until I was 29. So,
Okay. Gotcha. So
yeah.
local girl.
Yes,
Local to me.
exactly. No, so I moved to Nashville in 2020, and the decision was made in 2019.
Before or
And
after COVID?
so the
The
decision was made
journey.
before COVID,
Okay.
and closed on the house before COVID, 5 days before a tornado went through East Nashville. And the day the moving vans were supposed to arrive at the house in San Francisco that I'd rented for a long time, they locked San Francisco down and moving was illegal. And the house I was living in was killing me. And I couldn't
Killing
move.
you because of
It
mold,
had
right?
mold in it.
Okay.
And I'd been told with a sense of urgency, every day you stay is risking that you're going to need a lung transplant.
Wow.
So we ended up having to stay more than 3 months before it was legal for us to move. So, but we did get here. And a few months later, my husband was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. And the whole life that we planned on building here was just on hold.
Right.
And so when he passed away, I had two friends, four if you count their spouses,
In
and
Nashville.
in Nashville. Yes. So basically, I also had 2 months' living expenses in the bank account. And I still had three serious health conditions caused by the mold in that house in San Francisco that hadn't completely gone away by removing me from the house.
Wow, what a
So,
why not today story of courage to you had to get up and do the things. And I often talk about, why not today? It's not always the big, huge things sometimes, and it sounds like probably for you, it was getting out of bed some days.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's one thing you can do today?
Yes. Yes. And so it was, I mean, little things like I had to figure out where I was going to keep the trash cans so that I would be able on a bad day to still get them to the street, and how I was going to get actually the trash to the trash cans, or how I could go back to singing, and could I climb into the choir loft up five stairs without needing a death grip on the railing? Just being able to do things in my house and climbing stairs. I couldn't climb stairs easily. I couldn't get through the night 7 days in a row without a breathing episode. I lived in constant pain. And I had a serious financial crisis and I had grief to heal. So I had three things, and my word became grace. And I just started putting one foot in front of the other, which, quite frankly, was like I still am not comfortable walking on grass because it doesn't feel steady. I
Okay.
don't trust my body to not fall over. But I can. I no longer need the elevators at the church. I can actually climb up into the choir loft without the hand on the railing. I'm still a little scared to do it going down, but up I can do. All of those things. My voice is dramatically improved. I can sing without pain most days. Most days I live without pain. But that whole, I had to build an entire life, and there were
Did you
reasons
ever
why I
think
wasn't going to go
about,
back to California,
I
and
was
I
going to
didn't
say,
want to
did you
go
ever think
anywhere.
about going back to California or going somewhere else?
I can't be in California because half the year, the likelihood of fire season, that's not an option. Not to
Right.
mention the cost of being there.
Right.
And I've worked the last 25 years, last 30 years of my life in the tech world, and there really isn't enough of a tech community in this in Maryland. So, like moving back to where I still have four of my five best friends and their spouses, that didn't actually make a lot of sense. So it was like, no, I made a decision to move here and I'm going to build that life. And that's what I've spent the last 19 months doing, is
And
building
recreating
that
yourself. And
life
I love.
and reinventing. We call it in my friend world, Wendy 3.0. And
Love it.
it's the Wendy before him, the Wendy for the 20 years we were together. And now, what is the new Wendy?
Love that. And I love how what you have recreated and what you're doing and just watching you. Obviously, I didn't know Wendy 1.0 or 2.0. I've only met 3.0, and I am grateful for that, Wendy. And I think that's such a good lesson for people is, and I found so many people I've talked to in this podcast that life happens. And we're not promised tomorrow, and we can look at how terrible it is, or we can say, okay, what am I going to do to make it better? And it's a one day at a time, just like they talk in recovery, like AA, that it's like, it's one day, it's one
And the
decision.
thing I will add, and I just cut you off, which is rude, but I
That's all right.
found with job search coaching that 60% of the people I work with on job searches, they're not job searching in a vacuum. Their life isn't steady and perfect or even really great, and it's just the job search. There's ends of relationships, there's serious health problems. My journey has actually become part of the story that I use or the lessons I use to coach people, because I have multiple people with serious health issues that I'm working with right now on job searches who are like maybe almost young enough to be my children. And they're certainly, under 40, and they're going through these things. And so the reality is these opportunities for courage, they don't occur in a vacuum.
No.
And so figuring out what your magic word is, mine was grace, and how you're going to put one foot in front of the other, whether you're literally like building your mobility back or it's more of a symbolic thing, it's huge.
Yeah.
And giving yourself permission to try and stumble and pick yourself back up and all the rest of those things.
Somebody said the other day, I love this. It's either as you're growing, especially growing businesses and doing new things, you're either succeeding or you're learning. And you're not failing. How many
No.
things have we done that we don't do? And how many people's stories I've heard they started here and they're so different place than they are now. And if anybody would have told us, our 20-year-old self or 30 or 40, like, oh, this is your life, you would have laughed at them.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yet we're there, and so many people. And yeah, we just keep evolving and getting better. And looking at those obstacles, those setbacks, those things that happen to our life, not that it's a blessing that your husband passed away. And as things happen to us, to look at, find the blessings in the little things
Oh,
and be
yeah.
able to, be there for other people. And I think that's one of the things that I hope this podcast does is be there for people and give people hope and permission, and me too. So there's somebody that may be listening that lost a spouse or a friend or family member, or they lost their job and or they have health issues. And usually, as you said, it's not always just one.
Yes, no, it's
Multiple
not.
things going on.
And I would like to think that I was always kind of sort of good at being present for people in those things. And certainly my job search coaching, which was a side gig for a long time, I certainly did that. And it's not like what happened in August 2023 was the first bad thing that happened to me. There were a couple before that. And people really stood up for me in those. But one of the things that I've realized is that it's given me more confidence about how I stand up for people. And the idea that this is unique to like a widow journey. So what I see is loss of parents, I see divorces, job loss, major health challenges, all of those become things where now I'm like, wait a minute. I know some of the things that really work for me. And so one of them is reminding the person of who they are and how they've been there for you. And that is really powerful. That really helped when people said that to me. And I've seen times where I felt called to say that to someone and seen in the middle of great loss, them kind of light up for a minute and just be reminded of who they are.
Right, and get and have that empathy for people
Yes,
too. You
yes.
know, I when my dad passed away, I found, you know, I knew people had lost parents, but you don't realize how painful it is until you do it yourself
Yes,
and go through
yes.
that journey. And then I found that I'm more empathetic with people and reach out to people that have lost people or pets or jobs or, you know, all the things that, and you know, what we all went through in
Yeah.
2020 was major
Yes.
loss and gain.
Yes.
Our life that we knew it as of, I mean, almost 5 years ago today,
Yeah.
you
Exactly.
know,
Exactly.
totally, completely changed. And that was big grief and loss.
Yes, and I still see that significantly impacting people. The other thing that I've also found is so sometimes there's a moment where you just need to be present for the person. And when they're in that early stage and that reminder of who they are and how they've been there for you and you're going to be there for them, that's all they need. Then there's another piece, and that is the checking in on them, but making sure that they still have an opportunity to still, it's reciprocal. That
Yeah.
that can be huge for people at a different stage where it's not all, how are you doing, you poor thing, but it's a
Which,
reciprocal
by the
thing.
way, I really do not like that question. How are you?
Yes.
Like, especially if a major loss, like, how are you today? I'm like, not good, but let's ask a different
Well,
question.
you know what I really don't like about that for me is that the loss that they're asking about frequently when I'm not having a good day, it's not about that. It's about
Right.
something else.
Yeah, energy
And
triggers.
then it just feels so invalidating or so not responsive because, and I feel like, do I have to keep explaining that that didn't happen in a vacuum and everything else was fine. And so, yeah, that's not one of my favorite phrases. But, you know, I'm thinking of people that I've checked in on who are dealing with whatever kind of challenge they're dealing with. And when I deny them the opportunity, if they ask me and check in on me, that the greatest gift I can give them is giving them a real answer and not an I'm fine.
Right. And
Because when you're in a certain place of loss, sometimes the greatest gift you can get is to actually be able to be present for someone else in the middle of your
absolutely.
bad time. And that's the
I
huge.
always tell my mom too, like, she is a helper and she wants to do everything. She doesn't want people to help her. I'm like, Mom, you block somebody's blessing. Like, if you think of all the joy you get by doing something nice for somebody, if you don't let somebody do something nice for you, you're
Yeah.
blocking their blessing. And, you know, it
Yes.
goes both ways. We need to be able to be open to receive help, but then also be able to give help.
Yes, totally. And I think that brings us to the salons, actually,
Yeah. So let's
because,
talk about those. So
yeah.
it's interesting. You had mentioned it before, and I wasn't quite sure what it was or the background. And then I've listened to a couple podcasts about just, again, back to what's happened in the last 5 years. People are lonely, and we're so much more connected because of these little things we hold in our hand and social media, and yet we're so unconnected and people are lonely. And I was listening to actually just the recent, most recent Surgeon General that just recently left the administration because a new one came in, but he was talking about just connecting with people differently and inviting people over. He said, my house may be messy, my kids may be screaming, and who knows what we're going to eat, but that's not why people come to your house. And so it doesn't have to be perfect. And then something else I was listening to, again, talking about loneliness, and I said, the beauty of the salon is like the dinner party you have with your same four friends, and they always come the salon takes it one step deeper and you invite new people. Like, and this is a perfect example when we were talking a couple, month or so ago, and you said you were lonely. You didn't have a lot of friends there or people your age. I'm like, well, I have a really good friend that I went to elementary school with that lives in Nashville. I'm like, you guys should get together. And both you and Natalie trusted me enough to know that, okay, I'm going to go meet with this person because, Leslie said, you know, and so being
Yeah, it was
open to
wonderful.
those
We didn't take
things.
the picture, but it was
I
wonderful.
know, but you had such a good time. And I actually had an instance where I was visiting, I was staying in Asheville with some a friend's house for a couple weeks, and she was showing me around and we were going to go grab a coffee. And she goes, oh, my friend, I don't remember her name, lives here. I'm going to text her and see if she can come meet us. And her friend's like, why would I want to meet Leslie? And my friend Julie is like, okay, you don't, and she doesn't want to meet you now, but being open to those things. So yeah, so that's kind of one of the reasons. And although we've been talking about you being on the podcast, we're probably gonna have to do another version of this, a third one. This one is recording and we're gonna post this
Yes.
one, but a third one talking about all the things you do with job coaching and LinkedIn and all those things.
Yes.
But let's talk about the salons. Where did that come
Yes.
from? Talk about the history, because I didn't know it,
Yes.
and how that
Yes.
is weaved itself into your life.
So I was a double major in French and history. I found myself in the first year I was dating my husband that before he was my husband. And I found myself saying, I've always wanted to be a salon hostess. And I'd never actually thought those words, but when you're with somebody and they're potentially a pretty darn good fit, that could be a sign because you find yourself saying things that you've always wanted that you never even gave yourself permission to think, let alone say out loud. And I told him, I want to, when we buy a house and we have a little bit more space, because I was renting a 1300 square foot place, something like that. And the kitchen was horrible. And I said, so when we have a nicer place, and he's like, but we both cook. That's kind of all we need. And so we started doing it. And first of all, of course, so in 18th century France, the most powerful women were salon hostesses. So they had beautiful homes. They gathered together people like themselves to feature the work of an artist or a musician. And I come from a family of artists. I'm a musician. I'm actually into photography, so I guess I'm an artist too, but I identify more as a musician. Certainly put a lot more time into that. So he and I started doing our versions of salons in San Francisco. Now there, we didn't have people who cooked, so we did all the cooking, but there were two of us, and then we would hire culinary students to help us sometimes. And sometimes we'd have a friend bring a dessert. And we would want to introduce you to this person and that person's spouse to somebody else. And then those connection points would be our themes. Or we'd have an out-of-town friend from Maryland, DC, come to visit, and we would gather people in our network in the Bay Area who had shared interests with that friend. And so that's what we did off and on. And when I got really sick, then we kind of kept it to just a close circle, and it was less of the new people thing, but it still was still different people making connections. And
Which I absolutely love.
yes, it was wonderful. And we bought the house in Nashville for this purpose. But during his cancer journey, it just was never the right time. And we kept thinking we had to cook all the food. And so after he passed, and I really needed to start building relationships, and I was talking to a new friend who has an app for tracking potluck invitations, but not just the invitation. There are lots of apps for tracking RSVPs. This app tracks who's bringing what.
Love that idea.
I love it. So when I told him, oh, well, I'm not financially in a position to feed eight or more people, eight, 16, however many people. And he's like, oh, Wendy, but this is where the South comes in because we like to bring food. We, in fact, don't like to come to your house without bringing
You
something.
can't. And if somebody brings you something and then you have an empty dish, you can't take the dish back without putting something in
Yeah, that still slightly terrifies me, but yes. So
it. Which I have a dish of a friend that came over for dinner a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sorry. I'm like, I have your dish, but I don't have anything to put in it yet, so I haven't brought it back to you.
so these were started really, so I decided here what I would do is it would be music and tech. And this is not just Country Music City. And there is a thriving tech scene that I'm engaged with here, through primarily two organizations. But so basically, my guest list is for the most part people I know through tech or music, and then usually there can be like an extra side theme. And I did really think that this was both a creative expression thing for Wendy and a human contact outside of her clients and her church choir thing for Wendy. That's what I thought. And then I
Amazing how God
realized,
has another plan for us.
yes, I realized two things. One is a tool kind of thing, and one is a huge aha. The aha is I'm actually helping them. And not just with introductions, because what we did in Silicon Valley, it was definitely about introductions or hearing some diverse opinions, because the community there really desperately needed that. But I realized that creating that space of gathering at a table and taking a breath from all of people's obligations. And when I write to people about these, I have this whole thing where I'm like, here's my background in case you don't know it, because I don't lead with that story of that loss anymore when I meet
Right.
people. So I kind of tell that story. And then I talk about how I see it impact the people who've come and had a meal at my table and how much it means to them. And so what's interesting is I was telling my sister that I needed more friends. In Nashville. And she said, you need a friend funnel.
I love that
I love
idea.
that too. And so I'm actively engaged in the tech community here and in an innovation center at Vanderbilt University. And my next salon, well, the one after the next salon, the one in April, there are people that I've either met once in person or been on one Zoom for a Vanderbilt Wondery event that are coming to my house for dinner. And I've also had people come who I met at a place where I hear songwriters rounds, and a woman and her boyfriend, and he's worked in restaurants.
Well, I
So
think we need
it's
to be
wonderful having
oh, you know, the good old, you know, we are kids, like we just met people and talked to people, and then life
Yeah.
got a little unsafe and we weren't supposed to talk to strangers and all
Yes, and
those things.
then you're a woman living alone and yada yada
Yeah. But I
yada.
think we can trust our gut and our intuition. And I even did a podcast episode on the Why Not Today scavenger hunt. And like, be open, be alert,
Yes.
be ready to meet people and talk to
Yes.
people. It's funny, went out to lunch on Saturday, and there was a table sitting there, and I walked by to ask him a question about something he had on their table. And my friend's just like, "Did you make a friend already?" I'm like, "Of course, you know." But being open to that and talking to people, and if and I think we talked about this before, your sister's friend funnel came from, I think, the Mel Robbins book.
Yeah, she was
And
also,
Mel
yeah,
Robbins
she was
talks,
talking about
or one of
that.
her recordings talks about friends. Like, we have friends that are based on, like, we went to school with them and we are friends with them in school because of because we were in the same world. And then you got to work and you made work friends. And some people are your friends because of you're working, you're seeing each other every day, but then also you have your friends that are proximity friends. And
Yeah.
those are the friends, like I had a friend that lived two floors below me in my condo, and I saw her all the time. We walked and we were great friends. She moved literally, I say, half a song away. I never see her ever.
Yeah.
And she's right here. And then you have the people with the energy. You feel their
Yes.
energy. And so I'm really
Yes.
trying to be open to that. Like
It's
you
so
know, just a
important.
call on you. I'm like, with you, I'm like, okay, I want Wendy to be my friend. And I'm seriously in these discussions we're having. I have a Southwest ticket I need to use, and it
Well,
flies to
good.
Nashville. So I
Yeah.
may just fly in and invite myself to your house for the weekend
You may. There's a
and
guest room with your
do the
name on it.
salon and just like, being open to, meeting the people and doing the things that just some people might say are absolutely crazy. But when you feel it, you're like, let's just do it. Like, life is too short.
Life is too short. And so if that's one of the things I've learned in the last 2 years. But there's also one of the things that I realized is I have some people that I've got some pretty great friendships with that I've built, but they've got all these other things on their plate. And so they can come to maybe every other salon, and maybe I see them through other things, but that's why I need a fair amount of people. So there's all those different things. And I am so blessed with the people in my life. I have five best friends since 7th grade.
Wow.
And some of them, their spouses are at least as good a friend as they are at this point. It's 4 men and 1 woman. And their children are actually referred to as Wendy's kids. They're wonderful, and they were there for me during that very dark first month. But the reality is they're not here.
Right.
And unless I fly to Maryland or Washington State, I'm not going to see them. And so
And you only get
I'm
so much from being on a Zoom call with somebody or a
no,
phone
not
call.
really. And so I need to just build the different kinds of people that I need. And when I find those magical people who actually get things I say and understand them, or share an interest or share an approach to things, that is just, it's absolutely huge. So, definitely really excited about doing these things regularly. And now, when I go to these events, I literally, my sister is so right about the funnels. So, I literally was at a happy hour for the tech community on Thursday night, and I met people there that I'd seen before and a person I'd never met before, and it became, a point of contact or a follow-up. Hey, I didn't mention this on Thursday night, but I do these things called salons. And then one of the Wondery calls, somebody in the call said, "I think I heard about you from this person, something about the word salon, tell me about it."
Wow, they're
And
starting to talk about you.
exactly. So really just and now I have people, the invitations don't just come through me. So now I'm encouraging, certainly with the people who've been to one, them to include people and send people my way. And that started happening.
That's
Especially
awesome.
some of the people who are natural connectors like me, and they're like, "Oh wow, you need to talk to this person, and they need to come to one of your salons," and that's just so exciting, and absolutely amazing,
Yeah, I
and
love it.
so
Well, I've
excited.
started doing not calling a salon, and it isn't quite the same. But last year, in these discussions of loneliness, I've got some friends and like, we should get together. We talked about once a week, and then we're like, once a month. And then we did it once. We called it Taco Tuesday, and we did, I think, once. And then so last month, I'm like, we are doing this again. So I got together with some friends and we did Taco Thursday. And then we're Do we sketch before we all left? We put something on the calendar for March and we're doing chicks who make chili or something.
I love all the alliteration. That's
And we're just,
wonderful.
and we're gonna, and then we're like, okay, we actually talked about you in the salons. I'm like, okay, who can we invite? Let's add some more people and different people because I'd love to be able to say, okay, you need to know this person. And isn't it fun
Yes.
when people do that for you and you get to
Yes.
meet new
Yes.
people?
Yes. It's
So.
just so magical. And
Yeah.
I'm so excited about creating this community, or I'm basically building a community around myself.
Well, and
And
when Natalie
I don't
comes,
mean around me as the
no.
center, but as the connector, the original
That's awesome.
connector,
I
but
think I
just.
mentioned a friend of mine in Asheville. She does Fun Plus One, part of the Newcomers Club, and they host it. It's a happy hour event. So everybody brings an appetizer or dessert, their own whatever they want to drink. And the plus one is to bring one other person, not their significant other, but just
Yes.
bring one new person to the group. And
Yes.
so many great ideas. And every time I talk to him, I'm like, oh, I need to do these. And really encourages me to want to connect with people.
It is so healing and so important. And even with my younger friends who are in the raising a family stage of their life, it's so important for them to have an evening where they come be with grown-ups and they get to be, whether they get a sitter or one half the couple comes and they just get to be with grown-ups and get to talk about things and be and it's just so
Well,
important.
and I think
So
there's two worlds of people out there I'm finding. Myself and yourself, we own our own business. We can work 24/7.
yes,
People that work
and we
on.
don't go to an office where we see people and have the natural work friends.
Right. Yeah. And it gets lonely, and you can work all the time. And I was talking to my sister the other day and somebody else, and they have somebody else that works in the school system. They have a job where they leave and they're done. And they're like, what do you do at night? Are you bored? I'm like, bored has never become a word in my world. I have to do the opposite, is find other things to stop working because, I'll sit with my laptop on my lap till 9 o'clock at night, working or do catching up on things. That we need to take that break and to be around other
Yes.
people and to do it without a phone in front of us, and have conversations. And I assume the phones go away or not out during your salons, I hope.
What's interesting is that I have not needed to enforce a rule. And my first career, I did teach. I've also been the boss of a lot of people, so I have no trouble giving homework or telling people what
Right.
setting the rules for something like that, but I haven't needed to.
Because everybody's engaged and it's a
Yeah,
group effort.
everybody's engaged. And the very first salon, I did a rather long toast telling them the story of the origin of the salons in my life. And I had to ask somebody to take out their phone to video it.
Well, it's interesting when we had our Taco Tuesday on Thursday the other day, my friend actually pulled up a toast of Mexican toast because we had margaritas. And she's looking at her phone to read the toast. So we did the same thing. So
Yeah,
you're kind
exactly.
of doing a
And I'm
salon,
like,
not really.
yeah,
So
and
very
like
cool.
I like to grab a few photos of the food and stuff like that. My very
Absolutely.
first salon, I was featuring something, a charcuterie board that a client of mine had made because it's a side gig they're interested in really launching. And so of course we wanted to get pictures of that and that kind of
Absolutely.
thing.
Those
But
are, but you're not like having a conversation and people are
yeah, none
ignoring
of
you,
that
checking
talking.
Facebook.
We don't do that in Nashville for the most part, though. If you see a family at a table in a restaurant, you will see them speaking to each
Oh,
other. It's
what a contrast.
fascinating. I
That
know.
doesn't happen in Northern Virginia.
It does not happen where I came from in California either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we could talk forever and ever, and obviously we're really good at this. So,
Yes, we are.
but how would you encourage somebody else to say why not today or take the next step or just how would you encourage somebody else?
So I'm a really big fan on a whole life. So I don't really care what part of your life is not working for you right now and what part of your life is really working for you right now. But maybe you could start with figuring out what the answers to those two questions are and then gift yourself sometimes celebrating the thing that's working really well. But gift yourself, what could I do that's just a little teeny tiny step on the thing that's not working real well right now? And what is that small thing I can do? And how can I give myself grace as I do that thing?
Love
And if you see me online, ask me if I'm doing vocal practice.
it. I need to do that. So, and I always try to connect this back to my dad. Most people haven't met him, but things you talk about. So, one, your dad living in Reston, which I think is definitely a dad connection. And then my dad actually grew up in California. And I know you lived there for a long time, but I think the one thing that you mentioned, we didn't even talk about last time, that really brought up after this discussion is your love of and the way you gather people. My dad was an only child, And holidays were so lonely for him as an only child. And so he has always been about gathering people. I mean, I'm one of six kids, but we also had every kid around, you know, if they didn't have a place to go, they're invited. And the fourth, third, we started the fourth season of the podcast. So the third anniversary was just on March 5th of 2025. And I posted something online because that was the day my dad was born, the day he passed away, and the day I started the podcast. So a very
Wow.
pivotal day. So I posted something about that. And so many people that I went to high school with commented. And one friend in particular is like, I always loved being around your dad. He had no idea who I was, but he was always kind to me and I always respected him. I was just one of the other people that came to the party. We were the place that had the party. But my parents were always there. It wasn't like, you know, mom and dad are out of town, let's have a party. But I would walk in. If they weren't there, my friends would walk in and like, where are your parents? Like they'd come to see my parents. And I think, you know, he was doing kind of a salon thing,
That's awesome.
but a
I
different
love
way
that.
with teenage kids. And trying to influence us. And
Oh,
obviously he did, not knowing it.
wonderful.
Yeah,
Yes.
he's like, you need to get involved and do these things. And we were like, yeah, no, but you know, followed his footsteps. So, well, thank you, Wendy, for doing this again with us.
You're very welcome.
Grateful for this. And I'm excited about where the Why Not Today movement is moving and going. You know, it's a movement to encourage people to live their life, do it with courage, and also pursue your dreams. If there's something, whether it's a business or a nonprofit, or just you want to learn how to sing or go skiing or whatever the thing is, do it. And so we have a new website. It's whynottodaymovement.com, and really focusing on not just the podcast, but events to gather people. And then, in addition to helping people have courage, give coaching people and helping them have the systems to run a business, to start a business, to help with the overwhelm and chaos, which is a course I'm putting together, teaching people some systems. So
Yay.
check it all out on whynottodaymovement.com. And again, Wendy, thank you for being the guest. And thank you for everybody for listening or watching and joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dreams, and make a difference. So why not today? And make sure you share this with a friend. If you know somebody who'd be interested in hearing it, you just never know whose life this can touch. So thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.